You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 18 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we'll be chatting with Wayne McCurry, results from Wilson Bailey Homes and 91. Storage GM Chris Osterhazen on strong results. It's a niche REIT, but it's doing solidly. Then you're going to be talking around why investing into an emerging market is better than perhaps just giving some aid. Remember, yesterday we asked you if you'd be staying at a hotel. Nope. 100% of you are doing a staycation, an Airbnb, staying with friends. It is tough for hotels out there, as we discovered chatting with Sohol Sun yesterday, and it's not going to get better anytime quickly, it would seem. MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper focus on acquiring stable income producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Robex awarded two SANRAL contracts worth $2.87 billion, and Business Day, 91 hit by tech stock trends. Morning markets, loads of reds. US S&P off 0.5%, Nasdaq down 0.2%. Asia is mixed, Sydney up 0.4%, the only green on my screen. Tokyo off 0.8%. Commodities red, gold 18.75, Rand 15.39 coming through this morning. And looks like our market is going to open a little bit of green there, opening just under 0.2% higher.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now with Simon Brown on the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony and I with Wayne McCurry. He is a senior portfolio manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, morning. Appreciate your time. Wilson Bailey results yesterday. They still got troubles in their Australia contract. That's, I think, now moving into its second year of issues. And they've got COVID struggles at the same time. My sense around those results, not great at all, but COVID will pass. The Australia, hopefully they'll get it right. I can't help thinking that there's some value in that stock, particularly if we're looking at it from a future infrastructure spending angle.
Yeah, look, I mean, the earnings, I mean, they went into a very, very big loss. You know, they went into a loss of, call it 9 Rand a share from a profit of 9 Rand a share. The NAV is still up there at 6 billion, so that's still good. And the cash, you know, they've got an enormous amount of cash on their balance sheet. They've got over 7 billion rands worth of cash on their balance sheet. But as you mentioned, they have had problems with the Australia. But, you know, the COVID will pass and the market liked those results. I mean, the share was up 4%.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, my sense is that really we're looking forward to that infrastructure spend. There's not many construction companies left. There's not many listed.
There's no one left, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Robex announced, almost $3 billion SANRAL contract. That really boosted the share. There's Afrimat, but otherwise it's an industry which has been decimated over the last decade.
Yes. Yeah, when you think of all the big construction firms that were around 20 years ago, virtually none of them left.
All gone. Avenge, Basil Reed, Mayan Roberts, no longer around,
yes,
but no longer doing construction in any sense at all. 91 results obviously came out of Investec a year and some change ago. A lot of excitement around the assets under management falling. I don't know. My sense is that is one of those things that is going to happen. They're a top team, and you know, you're going to have those bleaker years.
Yes. Look, this, I mean, 91 is a fantastic company. I mean, I really think they are of the top asset managers around. And the assets under management went up quite nicely, and the investment performance has improved quite dramatically. But, I mean, the revenue was more or less flat for the time period, and profits were up marginally, you know, 1%, 3% profits up. But it's a good, solid business, this.
Yeah, and well positioned, which brings me to the last one.
I mean,
we have had two Mondays in a row where vaccines are being announced. They're not coming out yet. And certainly if I look at the market, I mean, the market's been bullish since those lows of back in Easter time. But there seems to be a sense of enthusiasm out there around realization that there's actually a light at the end of this COVID tunnel.
Yes. Look, I mean, there was always going to be a vaccine. You know, it was always a question of time. And the reason why we've had a lot of the, let's call it the consumer-orientated shares recovering on the back of the vaccine announcement is that they were cheap. Mm-hmm. So the announcement of the vaccine was merely a trigger that made them go up in the last 2 weeks or whatever. The fact that they went up was because they were actually cheap. And I mean, we're going to hear a lot more announcements about vaccines because literally there are hundreds out there being developed. It's not one or two, there are hundreds.
Yeah, and we've even got our own Aspen who will be doing some of them. Last question coming to you is Rand now at 15.39. If my memory serves, that is about the sweet spot for you and your team's fair value in the currency.
Yeah, that's very much slap bang in the middle of what we deem to be fair value. So the Rand could strengthen a little bit more, but then it'll actually start to enter expensive territory. And you know, don't bet on the Rand strengthening forever. You know, the Rand is a fundamentally weak currency for many, many decades and probably be so for many more decades to come. So if you want to take money overseas or do anything like that, you know, now's not a bad time.
Yeah, that was getting my point. 1540 is an attractive number. If you want some cash offshore, if you want some offshore assets, this perhaps your opportunity. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate your early morning.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chris Osterhuis, and he is the general manager at Storage. Disclaimer straight up front, I hold some of these shares. They had 6 months results ending September. Dividend a little bit down, like-for-like rental income up nicely in the SA, up a little bit in the UK. Occupancies, 86%, local 85%, UK looking good. Loan-to-value ratio, 26.7%, which if you compare it to traditional REITs is definitely very much on the low side. And the big issue is collected 96 and 98% of rental respectively in the SA and UK markets, which is a chunky number. Chris, morning. Appreciate your time. A really solid set of results. The market liked and bid the share up yesterday. Dividend down, however. Is this the new shares that were issued with the capital raise in July, which created more shares and therefore a little bit of dilution to shareholders?
Yeah, morning, Simon. Correct. The effect of the cap raise and the drip early in the year would have had an effect. We also paused our rental increases over the period. Mm-hmm. So they only came through a bit later in the period. Obviously, we were having a very conservative view watching COVID closely. I think if we sat aside at the beginning of the period and gave us a set of numbers, we'd be very pleased. It's good to come out the other end of them.
Yeah, you mentioned you certainly were able to put through some increases, and you got the double whammy, a bit of increases on the rental, and then a little bit more utilization of your space, both which helped push those numbers.
Yeah, so I mean, we see north of 10,000 square meters coming through on a like-for-like basis across the portfolio year on year, which is very good. I mean, COVID is sort of a great catalyst for life-changing events. You know, our business, as you know, is built on those life-altering and life-changing events. You know, we hold hands with customers all the way through. You know, be it through the difficult stuff, being the deaths and people and businesses and all those things, but also through life-changing in a positive way.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, typically we look at the storage industry, and you know, in South Africa you're the only listed. In the US there's a it's actually a fairly big listed sector, typically fairly resilient from recession. It turns out fairly resilient from pandemic as well. I like your point. It's about those life changing events, and as they're happening, it's going to be playing into the space in which you operate.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've seen people continue to move home, and you know, people are downsizing. And, you know, a lot of people are still taking opportunities to purchase homes with a good interest rate. So, you know, so we are seeing those transactions coming through. People are renovating, and all those things are still continuing to happen. You know, businesses are transitioning, so we are seeing a lot of businesses that are seeing green shoots coming through out again, and entrepreneurs, typical South African spirit, coming through and opening new businesses. And unfortunately, other businesses are having to downsize. So we're able to play a hand in that. Yeah.
How many of your renters, and I'm not sure if that's the phrase that you use, are entrepreneurs, sort of small businesses, as opposed to perhaps an individual such as myself? And in fact, right now we've got some of my late mother-in-laws in your Bryanston one.
Yeah, so interesting. We've seen year on year sort of similar numbers coming through. 40% of our South African business and GLAs are commercial tenants, and of that, the vast majority are small enterprises with five or less employees. So we're finding a lot of people are sort of building up their businesses from home. not renting out office spaces, you know, using our facilities which are on their doorstep, you know, flexible lease period, you know, multiple unit sizes, you know, access, extended access hours, sort of plays into the role of, you know, limited to startup capital and growing those small businesses. What's interesting is we're actually finding them stay with us for quite a long time. So our SME-based clients are staying a lot longer than our individual or sort of personal-based clients, which is good. And they also have a higher reuse base, so they tend to use us more often.
Yeah, I was going to say it would make sense. I mean, I could, you know, I'm playing scenarios in my mind. If I'm a little SME, at some point I probably want my own warehouse, but I think it's a long road from sort of needing space to truthfully needing my entire warehouse.
Yeah,
you're also doing some last mile delivery for e-commerce, which I suppose again you're well positioned with your with your facilities. This really makes, you know, a huge amount of success for that last mile. So I buy it online, but that delivery is going to come from one of your units.
Yeah, so both in and out. So we've entered into an exploratory relationship with a logistics software company. They specialize in last mile delivery solutions. So, I mean, our stores are situated in the heart of key delivery destinations. So it's excellent synergies with people that have facilities sort of out on the urban edge. They bring them through in bulk runs to our stores, and from there move them onto the retail customers. It also offers an excellent return. So the return logistics is very expensive, and they can bring them back a kilometre or two, truly last mile stuff, and then move them out of big trucks. It makes a lot of sense. And a nice thing is with the software, it provides for a nice spread in terms of how those trucks come in and out of our building, so it doesn't put pressure on our tenants.
Yeah, that makes sense. UK, it, I was going to say new, but I mean you've been there a couple of years now. How much is UK of your total business in terms of GLA?
Yeah, so it's just north of a third of our business. You know, so it's had a good run. We've had a good 12 months. I mean, COVID's playing havoc out in the UK, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a second lockdown coming in now, but the UK consumers are quite resilient in nature. They're coming out and they're renting space, and even through hard lockdowns, we are still renting space to a few customers, and there's a lot of demand still coming through. So it's been good to see those inquiry levels in both the South African and the UK markets being quite aggressive still. And there's a lot of requests for self-storage space in both markets.
Are you looking to expand further into the UK, perhaps other territories? I mean, you're certainly sitting on some cash, and of course cash is king in a pandemic, make no mistake. But is it something that would maybe push that number higher or sort of decrease the South African number, perhaps the other way around?
Yeah, so we are continuing to look into the UK as a growth opportunity, and we have got a nice pipeline of opportunities in that market, and we probably will see that number creeping up a little bit. And in terms of the rest of the markets, when we are focusing on the UK, I mean, we will always take an opportunistic view, but the reality is that that's our focus market besides South Africa. We're also continuing to see some nice growth in the South African market with a few stores coming online soon. Mm-hmm. So we've got a few nice stores in Cape Town coming up, which is very exciting, and one nice store in Johannesburg in Preston, which is sort of right next to the Preston Shopping Centre. And so we are seeing the growth in South Africa coming through too.
That's Chris Osterhazen. He's a general manager at Storage, talking around their results. Appreciate your time this morning. Our question for today, tweet us at MoneyWeb. Use the hashtag MyMoneyWeb. Do you use storage facilities, or perhaps do you just use your grandparents' garage?
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Polani Sengweni. He's a director at E4E Africa. Polani, morning. Appreciate your time. Talking aid versus sort of direct investment into emerging markets this morning. In many ways, I suspect aid is probably easier. You know, if I take a jaundiced view of it, I write the check, I give it to an organization, and I can sort of move on. But truthfully, it's the old cliche of handout versus hand up. And aid often doesn't actually give the significant levels of benefit for the amount of cash being spent.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me. Indeed, I think that's actually a correct assessment. Although aid has done quite a bit to help emerging countries, particularly in Africa, in the past. It hasn't always generated, I suppose, the return that one would envisage from it, for a number of reasons. One of them being the fact that, you know, everything creates incentives. So I think the incentive is for me to show that I've deployed money so that I can get money somewhere else, but it doesn't say I must provide a return or create sustainable wealth. It creates the a potential dependency syndrome where someone knows that all I need to do is tick a few boxes. So I'm talking about the person that receives, in part that receives a tick a few boxes, satisfy the political leaders of the country that are giving me aid, and I'm going to receive again. Right? So it doesn't create the behavior that makes people want to create, you know, a sustainable return, which then what those economies at the end of the day.
And that's one of the key points you make there, it's that sustainable return, an investment into an emerging economy, be it whatever. I mean, you know, there's a myriad of investments that could be. If that's done well and it works, that is not just sustainable, but it's something which will grow and benefit the country and the community in an ideal world for decades from a one-off sort of investment in.
No, 100%. I think that's why you're hearing across the country, and you're seeing, you know, quite a large growth of sort of younger, you know, much younger generation entrepreneurs asking for, you know, for their countries to be treated in, I suppose, in equal ways by being given opportunity, one, to trade with the rest of the world, but then opportunities of direct investment, so, you know, those people can build sustainable businesses, create jobs, pay taxes in those countries, which creates a snowball effect where the economy becomes less dependent on foreign aid as well, but a very active participant in the global economy, right? Because without that dependency syndrome is always going to continue from generation to generation to generation, which is obviously not sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge with the investment is, and this is, you know, not unique to investing in emerging markets, it's the challenge with investing. It's that on-the-ground experience or knowledge or partners so that you can find, you know, where to invest, what to invest, and also to get a sense of the regulatory environment and challenges thereof.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's precisely true, but that's why, you know, organizations or fund managers such as E4E exist. Mm-hmm. So E4E Africa is a venture capital firm that invests in, I suppose you could call, early stage technology investments, which is an area that the continent seriously needs to start investing in, because we are producing the talent, but we're probably not giving them the platform to grow. I think in you know, we've seen in West and East Africa, massive growth in venture investments, as we are seeing in South Africa, but there's still quite a lot of scope for growth because there's young, very smart entrepreneurs who wanna build exciting things that are actually solving some of the societal challenges that foreign aid would sometimes hope to resolve. You know, so one of the things that an international investor could look to do instead of doing direct investments is find those local fund managers who have the local experience, who understand what sectors are growing and making a difference, and then manage their money through them. I think that's probably not only a safe way of doing it because you're trusting someone who's got track record, but it also is a way of making sure that investment then goes with the support that those entrepreneurs are going to need. And that's the support that local fund manager could be able to provide.
That's a grand point. It's about follow-up support as much as that initial sort of knowledge out there. We'll leave that there. And Sloane Sangweni, he's a director at E4E Africa. Appreciate your time this morning. The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. Remember our poll, the question for the day, do you use storage facilities or your grandparents' garage? I don't have grandparents at the garage, so my stuff is in storage. Tweet us at MoneyWeb, hashtag MyMoneyWeb. You'll see it on the MoneyWeb Twitter stream as well. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m., the MoneyWeb website or the app. podcast wherever good podcasts are aggregated, available from 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie and Condora, the social media team working in the background, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.